like, it's obvious, like, there's a correlation here, right? Like, I'm not like saying something outlandish. This guy sucks.
He's got an issue.
Lately in the running world, an odor has been haunting the sport. What's that smell, you ask? The stench of scandal.
I didn't wake up that day and say, well, you know, I think Ruth Chepngetich might test positive today. It's like
190 times the legal limit.
Lord Coe worried by unpaid fees of Michael Johnson's Grand Slam track.
I think it's about $90,000 unpaid. Can we just be honest about this? Like, I tried a scissor kick over it and I just couldn't do it, and my knee smacked him in the head.
Not a coincidence anymore. No one falls that much by coincidence.
There seems to be no
correlation or connection.
Like, punishment. Speaking of cheating, do you guys see the Coldplay concert?
There's a lot of CEOs that are going down. Gus, I am worried. This is why I'm bringing it up. I'm concerned.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast. Okay.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 196. We got a very exciting episode for you today. Ollie's just returned from London town. We got some huge news in the world of doping. I mean, everyone's already heard about that, but we'll give our two cents on it and maybe a couple of other little tidbits. But before we get into that, we have a bean shout out, which Ollie is very, very excited to share with us. He brought them in and was...
He wouldn't even let us look at them.
Nah, you guys aren't going to look at them. Okay, let's start off with the ones I got in London. So a lady called Erin, who works for content creator for OAC Europe, does amazing stuff, has taken some shots, some flicks, some pictures of Robert and I and others, other on athletes at the Diamond Leagues. She reached out and said there's some coffee that she really wanted to get to me. And I got them right here. So she is from South Africa, Cape Town. And this is Cedar Coffee Roasters. Now, apparently, this coffee is directly used by the best barista in, I think, Cape Town, maybe all of South Africa. But it's a fan favorite. I think she mentioned that they know of the pod or are aware of the pod. I think there's some sort of runner vibes in there. So for us, shouting them out is a huge thing. But this is Cedar Coffee Roasters. I got a Columbia bag with a very shiny sticker. Upper in a white bag, as George knows, white bag means good coffee. So we got a Colombia one and a Kenya one. So thank you so much, Erin. I really appreciate getting these beans. They smell amazing and they look amazing and very, very excited.
Cherry fizz pop.
It says...
Didn't expect that.
Cup profile. Raspberry. Cherry fizz pop. Pink Lamington. White. Fuck, this sounds delicious.
Pink Lamington.
So this one is blood orange, black currant, and crunchy.
Crunchy.
Dude.
So, Cedar Coffee Roasters.
They really are.
Side Street Studios, 40 Alberta Road.
They just pick things that taste good.
Woodstock, Cape Town, South Africa. This, I don't know if they're Australian or not, because crunchy is a very Australian.
Yeah, but maybe they exist in South Africa as well.
Yeah, South Africa.
You got crunchies in New Zealand?
Yeah. Crunchies is big.
Crunchy is pretty good. Now, this one, I got this delivered. I spoke to a gentleman who raced and did very well in the 5K in Oslo Diamond League, and he mentioned that he's actually on and works with coffee in his own right.
Wait, can we guess?
Oslo Diamond League.
Wait, see the hints again?
So he ran at Oslo Diamond League 5K, he did very well. He has his own, he's collaborated with a coffee from his local, back home, in his local area.
Did very well in Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
From Europe?
He's not European, no.
Oh.
Nico seems unlikely, but he did win.
Shooting blanks? No.
Oh, blanks.
It is Graham Blanks.
No way.
So Graham Blanks works with Jittery Joe's Coffee Roasters, and he has the Runner's High coffee in this tin. It has his little story on the back.
Oh, his face is on it.
If you guys are interested in getting a Graham Blanks Runner's High Jittery Joe's coffee, He made fun of it. He's like, oh, I don't know if you guys would be into it because we're elitist, but I said,
we'll share it out. The amount of like coffee roasts that I've heard that have been named Runner's High is
A lot.
It's a lot.
But it says Graham Blanks. It has his little story. Sick, though. And it's 100% Arabic coffee.
That's a good thing.
It has his...
It looks like Boston coffee.
Has achievements here, but he's got his little...
Yeah, he's got thing, the Dunkin' colors.
Is one, and then we have one here that I think we should keep.
You just rebrand.
Yeah. Wait, are these beans?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, shout out to Shootin' Blanks.
Yeah, I'm so jealous.
Well, it's actually not from Boston. It's actually from Athens.
It's from Athens, Georgia, from his hometown. So
that makes more sense.
He said, look, I've got some coffee. Could I send it to you guys? I said, yeah, man, 100%. And he DM'd me on Instagram and gave me gave me my address, and he sent them through. So
legend.
If you guys are interested in buying this, I'm not sure if... I think maybe some of the money goes to him, but...
Why doesn't it say Shootin' Blanks on here?
I don't know. We need to fix that. But
these tins just look pretty. Like, how have we not done something? We might have to steal this design idea.
Design concept.
This is just cool to have.
Should we also call it Runner's High?
Yeah. Make the Coffee Club Runner's High blend.
We could just call it Runner's Low.
Ooh, now you're thinking. You got the
thinking it.
Idea.
But shout out to Shootin' Blanks. Thank you
That's
very much
huge.
For the coffee. And if you guys are interested,
well.
Go and check it out. Help him out. Help out Jeremy Joe's
Roasting Co. That's a fun name
it's
as well.
It's a fun name too. So
this was actually sent to you, not given to you.
This was sent to me, but it was given to me as well because I didn't pay for it.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, I understand that part.
But
I mean, as we just mentioned, like, I wonder if we had a place that you guys could all send stuff to, would people be interested in that?
I would be interested in people not sending me shit.
Obviously, we would. If you're not listening, if you had an address, if an address existed that wasn't...
Send us stuff.
And it'll be George's address, so you guys can turn up and hang out with George.
That's part of the deal.
I mean, don't you owe people like coffee dates and shit?
I think you signed me up for that.
I signed you up for...
I can't remember what the deal was. But
I've signed you up for a lot of things, let's just say.
Yep.
Those are some lovely Bing shout-outs.
Yeah, so thank you very much to Aaron and Shootin' Greg.
These might be our first bags from South Africa.
Yeah.
From a South African roastery.
I think so.
Like, we've had roasteries from bloody all over.
That's the Bean shout out for this week's episode.
Amazing. Thank you. And this episode is brought to you by Core 2 Senses. Get them at the link in our bio. I think this is the last episode that's going to be presented by them. So you guys have heard us talk about the heat training for a few weeks now, and it is something that we believe in, and we're very thankful to Core for supporting us. We are still giving out merch to those who joined the Heat Army. So if you do sign up, email us proof of that and we will send you a beanie so you can do your heat training and stay warm in the winter.
Coffee Club Heat Army.
Yeah, last chance. So take advantage of it. Check out the link. And our final report on the heat training stats. Ollie, what's your percentage at?
Zero.
Zero.
But I haven't put the sensor on, but I put the outfit on.
Just for fun.
Yeah. I felt like I was in Breaking Bad. And then I sat down in it and just kind of like tried to heat myself up and...
Just like mentally.
Just thought
hot thoughts.
I actually started thinking about like Fantastic Four, Human Torch. I was thinking about that. I was thinking like I could be probably the Human Torch.
I don't think I'm going to go see that movie.
That looks fucking terrible.
Okay, shout out, go see Superman, unreal film.
Unreal.
I can't believe they're remaking Fantastic Four.
Four.
I was gonna say Fantastic
Four. Well, they're remaking Harry Potter as well, bro. So they're remaking.
At least that's a show.
It's something different. And it's, how many years has it been? I guess Fantastic Four, it's also been a similar amount of years. But
wasn't there a really bad one in 2015? I don't know.
Yeah.
There was. But in general.
Always been telling everyone that Superman was good.
I do want to see it.
It's good.
I think like right now in the studios, Hollywood or whatever, Pedro Pascal, they just think he's like the Chico. They're like, we can make anything with him and people are going to just see it.
he's making so much money.
It's to the point where I was getting ads on YouTube or whatever. And you know how an ad for a movie would normally be a trailer? Or like some form of a little teaser trailer for a movie. They're banking so hard on the Pedro Pascal factor that it's not a trailer. It's him talking in like his costume saying like, hey, I'm Pedro Pascal. Like, I just made this movie. Like, come watch it.
Well, that's what happened to that show. I guess, spoiler.
Tom Cruise does the same thing.
Put out where the second season completely failed because they killed Pedro Pascal in the first episode.
Yeah, but that's in the video game. If you play the video game, that happens. So it's not like it's in the actual core of the game.
That's it.
Yeah, but people clearly didn't care about that.
Well, then they cared about was that the lead, they've changed dynamics of
Yeah, that show has a season three coming out still.
Yeah. What Elle does, and it's like the way Elle is in the show is very different to how she is in the
What's this show called that we're talking about?
Last of Us.
Last of Us, yeah.
The game is unreal. The game's so good.
I watched all of season two. I didn't mind it. But I do have a movie shout out. You guys got to go watch 28 Years Later.
Oh, yes. So apparently the ending is kind of like...
The ending is wild, but it's setting up... I didn't realize this before I went and saw it, but it's setting up for a trilogy.
Had you seen the Days and Months one?
Yeah, but like a long time ago.
Days is with Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, the original, like 2002.
He produced this new film, I know that.
Yeah.
Dude, I would highly recommend this movie. It's obviously a zombie movie, but it's not horror really. It's more like vibes. Mm. And it's just cool. It's almost like a music video for like half of it. Just like the vibes. It's very like, it's very pretty, very cool. And the ending though is really unexpected. It's very unexpected. And it's, yeah, setting up for the next one, I guess.
I got to watch it.
But I think it's a really good movie.
Awesome. Jordy, any movie shout outs?
I know
one that you've seen recently that you don't talk much about.
I still wanted to see this one.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I'm more, well, I had to get excited about it, but it's coming out in an entire year. The Odyssey, I think, is actually going to be
insane. I saw the trailer for
insane.
It.
That's coming out in a year? I thought it was coming out like an even further away.
No,
it's like summer 2026.
I think they've almost wrapped up filming for
but
it.
But you could buy, they already made like $100 million in ticket sales.
Oh, the IMAX?
You can only watch it in IMAX.
You can't watch it anything else, yeah.
Which, I've never seen a movie in IMAX, I'm going to be honest.
Dude, it's unreal.
So
I saw
I'm going to save it for that
IMAX
one.
And it was sick. Also, shout out for movie for me when I was in London, I got obsessive. Jaws. Have you watched the original Jaws?
No.
It's so good. It holds up so well for its time. Unreal.
Did you watch it on the flight or just while you were there?
On the flight.
Yeah, nice.
And then after that, I spent most of my TikTok and Instagram real time watching like deep sea diving, megalodon theories, like underwater, like
just all like the shark stuff. Everything that like spawned the whole shark stuff.
Culture. Like seeing like all these crazy sharks and like orcas, like killer whales hunting sharks and shit. Insane stuff. And I was just watching all this stuff while Robert was like, "What the fuck are you doing? You're gonna have like nightmares." And I was like, "Nah, bro. I grew up in Australia."
Yeah, I'm used to this. I see sharks all the time.
We're scared of we've been scared of sharks for ages, bro.
Yeah,
but yeah. Well, good movie. Good movie.
Good movie chat.
So yeah, core two senses. Also, Morgan is at 0%. But this is. I mean, I guess I could be heat training right now, but I'm not even like in a place to really heat train, so I'm not really doing it. I was doing a couple of sauna. Like it was. I was in a battle. I would go like in the sauna. I would get up to like 6%. 10%, and then I go back down. So it's kind of like a back and forth. But
I mean, I'm already 100%.
I think I'm 100%.
Yeah.
Like inside myself. But I need to get it on the app so that I actually feel good about myself.
And the app gives you good information and data on it too, and it gives you a goal. And I think Jordy's really enjoyed
it. It gives you validation.
Jordy's really enjoyed the validation.
So talk us through that, George. What's it like to be a heat champion?
I'm almost not a heat champion anymore. I slacked for a few days and it absolutely axed me.
Dude, how hard is it to stay at 100?
I looked it up. It said once you hit 100, you need 3 sessions a week at moderate strain to keep it at 100. And moderate strain is quite a lot once you get to 100, which I think is maybe 45 to 50 minutes of being pretty freaking hot.
That is a lot.
Or you could do some saunas, probably. I think that would help keep it up. But I slacked off at the end of last week. It's been slightly difficult as I'm transitioning.
Can you put on Strava? Can you put this stuff on Strava?
I don't know,
100%. Because that'd be a cool thing that Core could add in, is that you could kind of give in your like heat training score and your badge and stuff. I think people would love that.
Transitioning from less cross training to slightly more running in that phase
has made
it harder to... do as much heat training, basically.
How are you today? Was it like it's pretty cold out?
It felt fucking hot, but
I mean, I felt pretty good.
Core told me
outside today, so I would.
Core told me it was not.
It's not hot.
Yeah, like it wasn't.
George wasn't
a high heat strain.
Internally hot. It was hot outside, but internally he was fine.
Yeah, exactly.
George is externally hot. You know what I'm saying?
Clicker was cooking on his core. Apparently,
really,
he was sweating a lot.
Numbers
103 degrees or something.
Really? Was he wearing layers?
No, he was wearing a singlet and shorts.
No.
That's kind of wild.
What was the temperature by the time we finished? Must have been the
80s, yeah.
27? Almost 30
degrees. I went to
maybe?
Celsius. In the 80s.
Both.
In the 80s, 27 something.
But I'm still in the 90s, so I'm still a heat champion. And
jealous.
I just got to keep topping it up for the next couple of months.
I believe in you.
Try and keep it there.
You should get like some sort of like core like named thing, like the George Bemis Memorial Heat Champion badge or something like that.
What does that do?
I don't. It's just you can collect it.
Just for you.
Just vibes.
Would he be giving it to other people or is it just for him?
No, Cole would have that little badge that says, you're heat champion, like George.
So heat champion could be like 90 and then 100 is like George specific.
They send it out to everyone that gets heat champion. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea as well. You got a lot of good ideas today, Ollie.
Hey, cool.
That is a good one. They should take that.
But yeah, once again, check the link in our bio, also Ollie's bio, and send the proofs through the email and we'll hook you up with some merch.
Core is more, baby.
Core is more, as they say.
Get more out of it.
Yep. So the big news that we're going to be discussing today is what went down in the London Diamond League, which our very own Ollie Hall was competing in once again. And just from the outside, and this is a yearly procession. It's an annual thing. We see it every year. Looks like one of the most electric meets that we've seen in the past in this calendar year, I guess. It's absolutely amazing. Stacked stadium, big stadium at the same track that they had the Olympics, I guess. So
West Ham Stadium, baby.
Just absolutely electric. Looked like an amazing meet. Yeah. Is that how it felt out there? How was the vibes?
Yeah, incredible. I think when it was funny how, and I don't mean to, I'm not trying to diss pre, I'm not trying to diss Nike and all that stuff, but you know how like pre-50, like, oh, we've got a sold out stadium, blah, blah. There was a lot of empty seats in that. And you go, okay, they've sold out. They probably got to a certain percentage and they can say it's sold out. London was fucking sold out. It was packed. There were people standing up that probably shouldn't have been in there. Every seat had somebody in it. And it was a 60,000 stadium.
Some had two.
If you're pregnant, for sure. It was insane. It was honestly, I remember last year seeing it and was like, it was the same. It was like, wow, this is crazy. It's probably because the Olympics is coming up, like a lot of hype around these British athletes, blah, blah, blah. Olympics is in a couple of weeks. But I thought this year, you know, the Brits love their athletics and they said sold out, so it'll be good. And then walking into the stadium, you realize the Brits love their athletics, man. They love it. And they show out in force.
Josh Kerr was racing, so.
Yeah, I think Keeley was supposed to race and a few other Brits were racing too.
So how's British athletics, like, has no money or something?
I think it's a money laundering scheme.
I think they pay mostly for Brexit. They pay most of the Brexit thing. I think like
their money the Brexit goes to their CEO.
Yeah, Boris Johnson was like, you know what? Our UK athletics, they have it too good. We're going to make sure that they have to pay for the whole Brexit cost.
It does seem like athletics is in a great spot in the UK.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Honestly, except for British athletics.
Except for British athletics. It was honestly phenomenal. It's probably the best Diamond League on the circuit because of just the access to the stadium.
I believe it.
The hotels, where it is.
It's a special place.
Very special place. It's fantastic. It's really fantastic.
Especially for us. The amount of Aussies that were competing.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I got like when the camera goes on, it went on to a few particular people and then it kind of goes down the line. And then when it went past me, I heard people going, oh, hey, and I was like, just trying not to laugh. But it was absolutely phenomenal and great meet to be a part of. Very privileged to race in it again. Yeah. Was going in as defending champ.
Yeah, you were.
That was kind of cool.
Should we just jump right into the 15? Yeah.
So I have obviously dealt the past few races of just being mentally engaged, trying to really kind of lock in. And this race, I felt like really good. I felt very good physically. I felt very good mentally. I felt like my old self and I felt very kind of excited. I felt very excited. The race started. I got kind of pushed again, pushed back. And I'm like, well, shit, here we go. The first 100 was like the fastest 100 for everybody in the race, which is just the way it is now. And then I just kind of thought, well, I'm just going to do what Jakob does. I'll wait. And then it really settled in that bend and I just kind of moved into position, got behind Robert and I saw his buzzed head and I thought, you know what? I train with this guy all the time. I'm just going to sit on him and enjoy the race. And I really did and I felt very, very comfortable. It felt very much like Rome, except I was much more aware of what was going on. I was much more just receptive and kind of into the race. And I saw where Cam was and I was kind of gauging off him. He was a little bit ahead of me, just in front of Robert. I think I was in about seventh at the time. And then with the lap to go, I was feeling really good. I thought, okay, the boys are starting to pick it up. Robert is kind of getting a little gap, but I'll get really right on him. And then when it gets to about 150, I really want to start winding up because I've noticed for me, like, I need a bit of time to really hit that top speed. And Mills looked like he was hurting a lot. He went up with the pace hot and he was really starting to come back. Cam tried to go on his inside and Cam was in front of Robert, who was on the outside, and then I was on like pretty much directly behind Robert. So I was like outside lane one. And George Mills shockingly hit the deck. George Bill strikes again, as they say. And he hit the deck and wiped out Cam because if you watch the video, he kind of cuts in on Cam from preventing him from going through. Cam hits the deck pretty hard, which honestly, when I heard him hit it, after the race, I thought, shit, I hope he's okay, because they did finish, they like kind of jogged it in. But he hit the deck pretty hard and I was able to kind of react and hurdle over him, which, George, honestly, hats off to you. I don't know how the fuck you guys do steeple. It was tough to try and jump over him and he's just on the ground. He wasn't even like a hurdle thing. I just didn't want to step on him. And then I kind of went behind Robert and then all of a sudden Robert lost his footing and he went down. I tried to do like
Who did Robert fall on?
He fall on Cam. Okay. Yeah. So then I tried to like kind of scissor, you know, like in high jump when they like scissor over the...
Scissor jump. Scissor
yeah, kick. I tried to scissor kick over him and I just couldn't do it and my knee smacked him in the head.
You need Cam Myers in the head.
No, Robert.
Oh, you need Robert in
yeah,
the head.
Yeah, I had already jumped over Cam at this point and then Robert went down in front of me and then I had to jump over Robert. So I tried to scissor over Robert and I kneed him in the head. I couldn't get over him because he was higher up. I stumbled a bit, got up. It was 1:50 to go, and I just literally from a standstill just had nothing. I really lost a lot of momentum.
Right,
and
energy draining.
I tried to get through, and after hitting Robert with a knee, I kind of landed a bit awkwardly, but I was able to keep my feet and run through the line. And I mean, it was very disappointing having that happen because. And I said this to George today on the run, like it felt like a Comm Games moment. I felt like I was going to like lead into like a really good kick. And I felt very confident in that and in myself. Whereas the past few races, I've just like been like, I need this race to be over. I need this race to be over. And I was really just, I thought there was something special coming in that last 150, 200 meters. Because we were just racing for pretty much for like, I think the first two guys were kind of away. But we were racing for kind of third and it was an exciting position to be in. But I mean, if you watch, there's like, I think, a different separate video. I know in Flow Tracker, they didn't really show it, but in a separate video, you kind of see the fall and see how much it kind of stops you or delay, you know, just completely stops the whole race for a lot of those athletes. And I was worried about Cam. I was worried about Robert, but fortunately, they're okay. I apologize to Robert for kneeing him in the head, but obviously, like, that's racing and he understood it was okay. George Mills broke his wrist, but other than that, I think everyone else turned up unscathed, but it was just really frustrating. But also I think I'm very positive with how 1300 meters of that race went. I was really happy with it. Very happy with the mental effort I had in there and how I felt in the race. I felt much more like myself and engaged. And that just makes me excited because I know I can run like 3:29. I know now that I can do it. So I just got to be in the right place, in the right situation, and I can 100% do it. And it's given me a lot of confidence. So it's nice to have that step forward. My body's felt good. My ankle's kind of jammed from the hurdling, but you know, that's kind of how it went. Kind of sucks. London seems to be, if you're a British athlete running London, you're probably going to fall. So stay away from the British guys, I guess.
Good chances. Hey, Elliot Giles didn't fall over this time.
Yeah, Elliot was didn't get caught up. So
did or Neil?
Neil said he got caught up. Neil got caught up.
I mean, and
you didn't go down.
They both got caught up. Everyone except like three people were maybe four, including Adam, because he was that far behind.
Yeah,
at the time.
So, but it was one of those races. So,
it was cool seeing you and Robert just track along in the middle together. Good looking little OAC pack. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, you're right. Obviously, Coach and Josh got away, but all the guys around you. Like Nader and Whiteman ended up running 2:31 and a few guys behind 3:32, which is what probably everyone in that pack was going to run.
Yeah.
Like about 3:31 probably. So definitely the fall caused everyone probably 1 to 2 seconds easily.
Yeah. And crazy.
Some people a minute.
Some people a minute. But I might race again this month. I think we're looking at opportunities to try and just show off that fitness. Obviously, that opportunity didn't come through from circumstances that were out of my control. So I'm looking forward to looking at another opportunity to race fast and as well.
Well, it seems like you feel like a big step forward. So that's a big 100%. Win right there, even despite disappointment.
I walked away really pissed off about something I couldn't control, and it was easier to let go and then be very, very positive about where I was in my fitness and in myself. So that was really, really positive for me, and I was very happy with it.
Yeah, we take those.
Takeaways are to be in front of George Mills.
Takeaways are just to be like, hey.
It's hard when he's running. I don't know what pace he was on, but he's very quick.
Yeah, takeaways are just
he was very aggressive.
Yeah.
I was at the back of the pack in Rome, middle of the pack in London. Now I just want to be like at the front. If you're at the front, it's just not easy, but you're clear. Stay relaxed, trust your training, trust your fitness. Go for it.
Why not? Back in your happy pace. Happy place, though. But, I mean, the front of the race, it did come down to, as we already said, a battle between Kowich and Kerr. Kowich, the young, what is he, like?
18.
18? Young Kenyan, just absolutely crushing it this year. I think, is it his first year, like, on the scene, essentially, or has he been around previous years? Because I haven't seen him before.
I think it's his first year.
Absolutely crushing it, running a meet record, 3:28 there, in a battle with Josh Kerr. Do you guys see Josh Kerr's post-race interview where he said that he's spending all his money on clothes?
Mate, I have
to... Reminded me of you, Ollie.
Yeah, but my clothes look good.
Yeah.
I'm like fashionable in some sense. George, you make fun of me for spending too much money on clothes, but compare me to Kerr. Who has better fashion sense?
I would choose yours.
Yeah.
Where's all that money going?
What's he spending his money on?
He's going to the wrong stores or something.
He needs to come hang out with me and I'll sort him out.
Because that's a lot of money. Like, you know, he's making a lot and he's also
lives in Albuquerque. I'm sure rent's not that expensive there.
Yeah.
If he owns a house, I'm sure it's not that expensive.
I think he owns three houses there. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's good that you can step away from it and your body is thankfully in a good place and your mind is in a good place, and still it's good forward trajectory for good momentum for the rest of the season. So yeah.
Do we think it's some, like, what's the, at what point does an athlete like get like a race ban?
Like a red card.
Dude, they have to do what cycling brought in this year. Did you see what they did?
What?
They have like a yellow card system.
Yeah, I did see that.
It goes between races and it's like if you get, I don't know if it's just two yellow cards or whatever, maybe it's three, you get like banned.
So does like every sport. Like, basketball has, you have so many like technical fouls, you lose a couple of games. F1, you got penalty points, eventually you get a race ban.
There's no real negatives apart from like what you lose in that specific race.
It's like,
from just causing falls.
Yeah, there's like nothing.
How many falls
does nothing happens if then, you nothing happens if you do it, so then it's like, oh, fuck it, I'll do it again.
Actually, it's in your favor sometimes if you're doing it at a championship heats.
100%.
Yeah, because you get put to the next round. I'm trying to think how many falls.
There's nothing to lose except a broken wrist in this situation. Actually, I feel bad.
I mean, yeah, no one wants a broken wrist. No. But he's fallen at London Diamond League. He's fallen at the Olympics.
Yeah, at least once at the Olympics.
And then he fell last year in the Diamond League in London. He's fallen at European Champs. I mean, there's
a lot of falls.
Indoors and out, yeah, Europeans.
It's not really a coincidence.
I have a lot of respect for a lot of the ways he races. He's an incredibly good runner, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's not a coincidence anymore. No one falls that much by coincidence. Like once or twice. I mean, I don't think any of us have ever fallen.
I almost fell. I was able to hold it out.
Maybe it happens. Falls do happen.
And sometimes it's completely out of your control.
Also, like,
it's happened too many times.
It's happened too many times with Mills.
It's not a coincidence anymore.
It's not a coincidence. And also, like, and I'm not trying to just put it on Mills. Robert has also fallen a lot. So, like, there are certain people that have fallen a lot.
And he owned at Europeans this year when Robert fell. He owned up to it. He said, "Fuck yeah, that was my fault."
Yeah. Well, I don't think Mills owned up to this fall.
Yeah.
I think he was just completely in the red zone, about a blackout, just hoping to get to the line, and just his legs gave out. So
took down a couple of people with him.
Took down a few people.
Yeah.
So, I think World Athletics need to look into that.
Well, we can talk to them about it and see.
Instead of getting rewarded with a free pass to the next round, they should look into it. Maybe go the opposite.
Yeah,
they have the cards. They're out there for the false starts. There's red and there's green.
The cards are already there, guys. It's there. Easy. You don't need to make cards. Step one, tick. Let's just make the some penalty system for causing too many falls.
Or, you know, like in when you're watching Formula One and there's a crash and it comes up at the top, it's like collision under investigation.
Yeah, like the FIA.
We need like World Athletics, like this collision is under investigation, and then like something happens. But they just like pretend it didn't happen. Like they just like, oh, quick, fuck, move the video quick. Commentators don't talk about it. Pretend that shit didn't happen.
Well, this one sucked because
it was the end of the meet.
No, too. But also like the way the camera was in the race, you couldn't get a good view of it.
It went straight to the front.
The camera was only essentially on the front two for some reason.
There has to be another camera in that stadium.
Yeah, and they didn't show it.
No, I swear they're like trying to pretend it didn't happen. Like, oh, let's gloss over that.
If it wasn't a British athlete, they would have showed it.
No, if it was they wouldn't have. It like just doesn't happen in track.
The fours are viewed really different in our... I'm just thinking about how fours are viewed in our sport in general, because like if you go on YouTube, for example, you could look up a compilation of like top 10 F1 crashes, or you could look up a compilation of like top 10 bike crashes.
Yeah.
Where's the top 10 running fours compilation? It's not a thing in our sport, I guess.
No, it's not. No.
Maybe that does exist. I'm going to go search that.
Go check it out. Yeah.
But they fully investigate it, even in cycling.
Yeah.
Like that Cavendish Sagan one.
They
like look into it so much, and then it's like, all right, his elbow was slightly further out than it should have been, fucking banned next race.
Yeah. Now he got kicked out of the tour.
Did he get kicked? That was the whole tour. Yeah.
For that specific one.
Yeah.
Sagan. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Crazy.
Oh, anyway.
So we'll check in with White Athletics and see what they think about this new system.
We'll get Seb on the horn.
We'll get him on the conch.
But aside from the men's 15, there was so many other crazy races, as you would expect, at the Lemon and Diamond League. Just highlighting a few, there was the women's 800 was crazy, seeing Georgia Bell.
Georgia Bell.
I don't know why I blinked on her name for a second. Like, I mean, beating an amazing field. She's as good, right now it's like she's as good at the 800 as she is at the 15.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting what she picks for Worlds, honestly, because...
Almost seems like she should do the 8.
Well, because...
Seems more open.
Geely seems...
Doesn't have Jess and Faith.
Yeah.
Geely's also out right now, right? She's not really...
Yeah, I guess she hasn't raced yet.
And Mary has not been running very good.
Mary is
as defending champ.
And then Athing is still coming back from her break.
Was that the world lead? Must be.
I think would think so. Was it 156?
Yeah. That is so fast. I feel like she should do the 8.
Can you do both? I wonder.
Be hard, probably. I think. Probably, I don't know, George, you probably know.
I don't know. I'm
sure you can. It just depends which one is first, like in what your preference is, I guess. But crazy race for Addie Wiley as well. USA Women's 800 is going to be amazing. And
wait, what's she run?
157.4, second place.
Wow.
She came home real quick.
She's run a couple of 157s this year.
Yeah. She's runs good in these. She just goes over to Europe and just runs like really well, like in these races. I was going to say like random races, but this is not at all a random race.
She also broke the American record on the 1K in Monaco, I think.
Yeah. So crushing right
her
now.
Her own record, but still. Wow. That's fast.
And wait, did she beat Sinclair in that race? Who beat?
In Monaco?
Yeah. Did she?
I believe so. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Because I remember seeing Sinclair. But I guess Sinclair just broke the mile record.
Yeah,
she
ran.
That was epic.
She's in a tear right now. After a race, she seems pretty locked in for USA's. And it's pretty cool to see her do well, you know. Her boyfriend.
That coaching situation is working out.
And I chatted to him about it. He's like, he's looking at getting, he wants to get more pro athletes. He wants to coach more people. He really enjoys it. And he really wants to.
I wonder what his... What his coaching philosophy is.
I don't know.
We need to get him on the pod.
It's working. He's a really nice guy. He said he's still been like running a little bit because he used to be a lot of pacing. He used to be a steepler. But he said
really
right now he's just like, he's like, yeah, I'm able to rip like a 151 when I need to. But he said overall, I'm like mostly just here for, you know, Sinclair. And
he's it's working.
For more, he's looking for more people. So
guess we should talk about the women's mile then.
Yeah, this was a stupid race. I mean, it was an amazing race. I don't want to take anything away from it, but it was... Sige went out. I don't know what like the I don't know exactly what the pace was meant to be, but Sige
2:00. I know because I watched Sinclair's interview and it was supposed to be 2:05.
Well, Gudoff went out in 59, which is a very different pace, and she's famous for racing like that, you know. And sometimes I don't really understand how that's like physically.
I was about to say, she must know that physiologically. That doesn't work.
That's like going out
she,
at 52.
Like she must know.
I don't know.
That's not the way to run fast.
She does it so often. And she did run fast. That's the crazy thing is she still won and ran 4:11.
I think that's just because she's really freaking good at running though.
Yeah. She's not good at pacing. I think she could have run quicker than that if she didn't go out.
Definitely.
Yeah, you have to. Definitely. Just based on just like it has to be true that she could run quite a bit quicker if she paced it more evenly.
Like, yeah, no.
Even though that's like hard, it's crazy to think about how much quicker you can run than 4:11 because 4:11 is already so quick. But yeah. It's wild.
It just makes no sense. Because Sinclair was saying that she came up to the Sagai came up to the pacer in the warm up area and was like 2:02? Yeah? Let's go 2:02. And the pacer was like, no.
I'm not doing that.
And so
she went in front, yeah.
Sinclair said they all knew that she was just gonna go in front of the pacer.
Yeah. Oh, they knew it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, which is just ridiculous. What 4:04 pace, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe she thought she could run 4:05.
I believe she does think that, like totally.
The record's 4:06, so.
4:07?
4:07, yeah.
Maybe, like officially official?
Official 4:07, yeah. Sorry. 4:06 was the sub 4 mile.
But it really looked like, because I don't know exactly what her third lap was, but I assume it was quite a bit slower. And it really looked like, because Jess paced it really well, It looked like she was going to be able to run her down, but then beautiful rallied at the end. But Jess did still come through and run 4:13.
What was her record? Australian record before?
I assume.
Obviously, she already had it.
Was she in the
definitely
the
in
Monaco
the team
race?
Because
then she probably ran like 4:15, 4:16. I would guess.
I feel like that sounds.
Because that's where the American record was.
From Nikki.
4:16. Mm-hmm. Assume she was there. But another record for Jess.
I couldn't stand listening to, normally I think she's pretty good, Hannah, whatever her name is, the commentator. And this, it was so annoying on the commentary. I don't know if you guys noticed how, like, she was hyping up Jess and Sagai, obviously. And then she was talking about these other athletes. She was like, a lot of tired runners coming in back there. Like, I was like talking about the Italian girl. I've forgotten her name. She runs just like Josette, by the way. Yeah. If you notice that.
Oh, she ran. She had a crazy good race.
And like something like, kudos to her going for it. And I was like, yo, 6 of those people just broke their national records back here.
Yeah.
And she was talking about it as if they had all blown up and
dying.
Like it would not having a good race.
No,
I was like, yeah, okay. So guys are running 4:11, so they're a little far back. They're all having the race of their lives back there.
Yeah.
Spanish record, American record, Italian record, Portuguese record.
Yeah.
All after the Ethiopian and Australian records at the front. I was like, you're not reading the race.
No.
It's like, come on, lady. No. I think she's normally pretty good.
That's also kind of disrespecting a lot of those athletes. But
that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, the amount of PBs and national records.
It was insane.
Dude, I'm looking at it right now. There's out of 16 people, there's 3 people that have SB, season's best, and everyone else has PB. National record or area record.
Crazy.
So it's just one of those races you got to be in. And
yeah,
it felt like the track was really fast, especially like for these women's races. Like I think when you're in that type of environment with the crowd, and I mean, I know it's a fast track. Like it is a fast track. It's just so conducive to running like these
types of
times.
It's an amazing track.
Yeah. So.
What else did we have?
There was...
Women's 5K. Did you chat to your athlete? 5K.
Donovan, I did chat to him in the elevator, yeah. Super nice, super friendly.
Yeah, he's your athlete, so you should know that.
Yeah, but yeah, just caught him in a good mood.
Are we happy with his performance?
Mate, he's got a great mentality. I think he's going to do really well. His mentality's great. He's very excited about racing.
Are you going to have him race again before the trials? Surely not.
Nah.
He's ready.
Nah, he's ready.
He's ready.
I mean, the dude was running strides in regular running shoes, did not touch spikes until got into the race, which is good because of...
That's what you told him to do, or he's excited?
No, I told him because I disbelieve in himself that he doesn't need to do that shit. He's too talented for that shit, yeah? Way too talented.
Totally.
He ran 1:43. So I guess he'll run like 1:41 at the trials.
I believe, was that his second fastest time ever? Or am I wrong on that?
I think it's like one of the top five for sure.
Yeah. Pretty crazy to be back running,
but
in that form.
That 800 was crazy.
Yeah, when Yoni's got to be like pound for pound the best run in the world right now, right? like
what in the weight class or
it was pound for pound.
What do you mean? Pound for pound? Well, weight class.
I'm just saying. I'm not actually talking about his weight, but you know,
pound for pound, he's doing pretty well.
I just mean like in terms of like who's dominating their event the most.
He definitely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Well, A-Rop after the race was talking.
I can't believe A-Rop let him through on the inside.
Yeah, that they were talking about that. They're like, what are you doing, bro? You got to make him work harder to get around. And he's like, yeah.
That keeps happening in these races.
Except, no, but Mills tried to put a stop to that.
Yeah, he did.
He should have gone down.
A-Rop should have went down.
Can you imagine getting an elbow from A-Rop?
I'm pretty sure you would be knocked out.
You'd be concussed.
You'd be knocked out.
That'd be the last elbow you get in your life.
What a way to go out, though.
It was good to see Bryce Hopple running so quick again as well. Maybe that was his second fastest time.
I think it was.
Maybe that's what I'm getting.
Just, yeah, pretty quiet, 142. And then
it is funny that a 142 is quiet. Like
fourth place, like barely saw him in the race.
Yeah. So he's back.
He's looking good.
USA's 800 is going to be freaking legit.
It's actually going to be.
It's going to be really hard to call.
That's what's going to be so exciting about it.
Yeah.
Josh Hoey after his, some crazy split size sword that he did in practice.
Back of the farm, when he paced
113, 600.
I don't really know what that means, but it sounds fast.
Well, he paced his brother to 144 as part of a workout and he went 600 of it. So I guess it was 600 at 144 pace, probably. I don't know.
That was slower. That was the 115 and then he did the 113 after that.
Oh, I didn't.
What's 113? What was that going through?
20.
It's got to be.
That dude's damn good at running
now. Right now. I mean, if you then run a.
If you're running a 50 second flat, 400, like and then you added the 25, that's 115.
So faster than
that. Which is what he paced, right?
That's really
so like 48 points.
So he was probably 49. Running 24 average per 200.
That's pretty crazy.
Is that what we think that we'll do a USA preview
24 point.
Yeah, that's unreal for 600.
USA predictions next
24
week.
And change.
Yeah, it's coming around real quick. The women's 5K did have the Australian record, Rose Davies.
Yeah.
Amazing. And George Griffith also running super quick from the Aussie perspective.
I'm still not very good at knowing what's a good 5K time for women, but I know like 14:30 is pretty good.
That's really good.
I know that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I know that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely amazing for them to get it done. Good to see Nozomi Tanaka running 14:34. It's crazy how...
She races so much, man.
She races
so much respect. She's a baller.
Continues to get better and better somehow. So
it's funny seeing her like entourage. They're usually down below and there's like three or four of them and they're all about 5'2". And they recognize me and they always like, you know, give a little bow. And then they'll just put their... They'll walk like Morgan. They'll put their arms behind their back and they'll just like wander around London just staring up.
That is what I like to do.
Yeah. Just like kind of cute little Japanese men.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? You should be bodyguarding your star athlete. You're out here wandering around looking for tea. Get back in there. Look after.
I bet at World Champs, she would literally need an entire entourage of bodyguards.
She'll have security for sure.
She'll be so famous there, huh?
Yeah. So famous.
So is George. George is pretty famous.
He also has an entourage.
Tokyo. You have an entourage.
Yeah.
You're like a drawn anime character. I think they'd love that shit.
Finally. Not distance wise, and I didn't actually see this, so hopefully you guys can enlighten me a little bit. But Noah Lyles came second to Seville. Did you see that, Ollie?
Yeah, I was ashamed that he hasn't been able to, you know, warm up racing Tyreek Hill, but it's good to see him out there running again. He won
the 200 that he did, was it against Tobago
in Monaco? Yeah,
like it was just pretty hype. So he's clearly in really good form.
I think people got to understand that, like. Our sport, you're going to lose at some point. You're not going to win every race. I think he might have talked about that in his post-race interview. It's like, yeah, we lose sometimes.
Does he have a double bye or a bye?
Like Sydney McLaughlin?
He definitely won the 200, didn't he?
I think he won the 200, yeah.
Can't remember in Budapest.
Yeah.
What? I must have a bye in one of them.
Maybe he won both, actually, in Budapest.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Dude.
I know Sydney McLaughlin's doing the 400 flat. USA's.
She's scared of Femke.
Femke's looking good, but Sydney's just. She's just so fucking much. Like, she's so much better.
Yeah. She's crazy, so much man. Better. Well, yeah. So that was the London Diamond League.
What else did you do in London? Any other highlights?
Highlight was I.
Did you see the King?
King Charles?
I don't know. Any of them? Yeah.
Nah, I didn't see him.
Was he not there?
I was hoping to see.
It's too bad.
I feel like they should go.
You know who I was hoping to see, honestly, was Stephen Fry.
Didn't see him?
Didn't see him.
That's too bad.
The royal family all goes to Wimbledon. Why aren't they going to the London Diamond League? Come on.
We got to make it a bigger deal.
Because it's too blue collar.
Yeah.
It's too blue collar. Wimbledon's so posh, man. I was looking at the comparisons between Wimbledon and Australian Open, and like in Australian Open, you can pay like $40 and go watch some like insane fucking tennis, like insane. But in Wimbledon, you got to pay like so much money just to go and see some of the games. Shout out Australian Open. But other than that, we got coffee, hung out with Robert and Kelsey. Robert and I tried to force Kelsey to pay for every meal with the Ritz Running LLC card. Didn't work out that well. We got like 1-0, I think. Classic. But she was using the card for her meal, like her meals, right, for travel. And me and Robert were like, well, Kelsey, you've been very hungry this trip. You know, you've been very hungry. I think you should pay for the whole thing. But no, we didn't. We weren't able to do that. Other than that, caught up with Cam quite a bit. And he's doing good. He keeps telling me that Canberra is the best place in the world for living and running and lifestyle. So,
do you believe him?
No. He's so fucking biased, that boy. But he's doing well. Dick Telford was there. Good to see Dick. And who else did I encounter? Claudia. She seems to be doing really well.
Who?
Hollingsworth.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even shout her out. 158.02 PB.
Yeah. Nice.
She's doing really well. First time in the league. I think it was Diamond League debut. And then she was heading off to St. Moritz.
Oh, really?
Sweet.
Yeah. So she's doing well. And
is she pre-selected?
Yeah, she's pre-selected. Other than that, just hung out. It was a very short trip. And
was a short trip.
Nando's.
No Nando's.
How did you not get to go to Nando's?
Because Robert was picking what we're doing for dinners. He's a bit more picky with food, so I just can't let it go.
I would see him being a Nando's guy, though. That's the thing.
We went to a sushi place, and it was shocking service.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Robert got really pissed off.
I'd love to see
it. Unreal.
Angry German.
Unreal. Angry German. He was like, I can't wait till they come with a bill, and then I'm just not going to tip him and look him, stare him at them there in the face. So I'm like, Robert, you're the most intimidating guy ever. They're going to fucking shit themselves.
Oh, love that.
But no, it was a quick trip to London. Now back. Got some stuff going on in my life, and then I'm going to be living like a monk.
Love that.
And preparing for hopefully some cool, fun races.
Hell yeah.
Very good.
So aside from the London Diamond League, the massive, huge, big news that dropped last week, which was a surprise to some and not a surprise to others.
Who are the some we're talking about?
Well, it was a surprise because I didn't expect it on the day that it happened. Mm. I didn't wake up that day and say, oh, you know, I think Ruth Chepngetich might test positive today. But the fact that she tested positive at some point, I guess, was not a surprise to anyone. I mean, it's a bit of a sticky situation. I mean, because at the time...
What's sticky?
So what's sticky about it is at the time when she ran 209, which I believe was Chicago Marathon last year.
March.
It was it's
a March.
No,
it's definitely
no,
March.
No, end of last year.
She tested positive in March.
Yeah. Sorry. It was really not real long ago.
Not that long ago, 9 months ago, let's say. And she ran 209, which shocked the running world. And at that time, there was a lot of people that called her out and said, this performance seems... and improbable and impossible.
What was
suspicious.
The PB before that?
PB was 2:14.
Yeah, but she had a crazy progress. Like if you look at her progression,
she went through in like one.
Like her half marathon progression, especially, was like pretty.
Didn't she go through like 1 minute quicker than a half marathon PB?
Yeah, which you kind of have to do if you're running 2:09, and the women's half marathon world record is only, what is it, like 63s, 64?
She went through in 64.
But so there was a lot of, at the time, a lot of people were saying, well, this doesn't seem clean, but then there
that's
was a lot
from,
of,
that's from where a big,
but then there's a lot of backlash to it because a lot of people were calling people racist.
Yeah,
because
Kenyan parliament went about it.
They said that, well, if a white person or a non-African person had done this, you guys wouldn't be saying this, which I guess we'll never know if that's true or not. I mean, maybe we will know if that's true when
if it happens,
if it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So then that was kind of like the, like people weren't, it wasn't something that people were like constantly talking about, but it was like, I feel like people kind of spoke their mind at the time. And then, you know, as things do, it got a bit quiet, it cooled off a little bit. And then the news came out that the AIU had been, you know, tracking her down, and she'd been provisionally suspended for testing positive for, I'm going to try to say this, hydrochlorothiazide, which is a banned diuretic that can be used as a masking agent. And so it's a substance that I believe doesn't, it has no I believe the substance that she tested positive for has no benefits itself, but it's a masking agent for other stuff. And her levels of it were really, really high. They were pretty crazy. So, it's like
190 times the legal limit.
What for the that, fuck?
For that substance, which means she's masking something, something powerful.
So what's sticky about it now today? And so she's been provisionally suspended. Like, I don't exactly know what that means. I assume she's going to be also non-provisionally. She's just going to be suspended at some point. I don't know how that works exactly. But what's really, I guess, sticky is that her half marathon, I mean, her full marathon record still exists. And
it will continue to exist too.
I imagine it will continue to exist in, it's going to be 29.
For all eternity?
For the infinite, potentially.
Until somebody dopes up more than her and fucking runs it. I mean, there was a lot of response on social media. A lot of people were saying stuff.
Of course there is.
And a lot of people that we know, close to us in the running world, that have come second and third to her in major marathons, which
Emma
has
Bates.
such big... Like Emily Sisson had a really nice write-up on it where she still promoted people to, you know, try to be positive and think the best and not be too discouraged by stuff like this. But for those athletes that we're talking about, that has implications which are potentially, I don't know, six-figure. Like, because it's not just... You don't lose just the prize money from that race. You lose maybe on your next contract.
Dude, it's seven figures. Well, it's life-changing.
Because Emma was second in Chicago to her, right?
And so was Emily Sisson. They both were.
They both were second, right?
Think about
it. If the American woman won.
Think about the two American women that have won a major American marathon.
Des Linden.
And?
Shalane.
Yeah.
Dude, crushed that, Ollie.
That was good. Well done, Ollie. They've been literally like,
they're like stars.
Tenured
stars
by their brands, like literally forever.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they're basically just like set for, I can't even imagine how that changed their lives in the next few years.
That could have been Emily. So
Emily Sisson also Sarah broke the American record in that race.
She did, yeah. And it's Houston, right?
Break the American record as an American in Chicago, winning the Chicago Marathon. I don't even want to know what that would do to your contract for the next year, the appearances for the next year. That would just be otherworldly.
You're right. You're set for life.
You could buy a lot of skins on Fortnite.
Dude,
V-Bucks? But instead, you come second.
Yeah.
And then you can only afford Minecraft Realm. Literally.
But there was a lot of comments.
And those are obviously just two very small examples.
I think there were some comments that were a bit too much. I think Corey McGee said something that kind of, I think, was a bit too much.
What was that?
She said jail time.
Well, you know, you say lifetime, that, but you know, in many countries, that's like in France, it's illegal.
It's a criminal offense, isn't it?
I get that, but
like, there's a lot of countries where that's actually
lifetime.
True.
Lifetime jail ban. I don't.
Did she say lifetime?
I think
jail?
She said lifetime jail.
Okay.
You just added the lifetime.
Lifetime is slightly different.
Let me.
Well,
I mean, if you believe that doping is a criminal offense. And therefore, she's been.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be a criminal offense. I'm saying it shouldn't be a lifetime jail ban.
That means she's like stealing millions of dollars, which is, if that's how you're looking at it.
I'm looking in the sense of like lifetime ban in the sport for doping like that, 100%. But a lifetime jail sentence?
I don't think anyone's asking for a lifetime jail sentence, just to be fair.
Okay. Maybe I misread it, but I thought that's what was said.
Let's take a little backtrack.
It might have been what said, but unfortunately, I don't have George's Wi-Fi, so I can't. Loaded it. But there were some comments like that, but like, I think, not to defend Ruth, but like, she's a human being and she comes from Kenya, and I feel like people take advantage.
Yeah, you don't know the story.
Yeah.
Why can we not get that story? Why does no one that tests positive tell the story?
Like, that they are a victim? They probably do.
Because she probably doesn't.
They're probably not allowed to.
Like, why are they not? Why the people.
Because it's probably just reality.
She's only banned for, if she's accepted her provisional suspension, which seems like she wants to do, she's literally going to be back racing before the Olympics, which is, I guess, an easier decision to make for her. Previous athletes that get banned for like 6-8 years, never run again. Why are they not just outing what the fuck is going on?
Because they probably normalize it.
Yeah, well, also they're probably not safe, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is too. Yeah, they probably live somewhere they're not safe to do that because it's powerful people around them controlling them.
I think the issue is like,
hey, Zane Robert, was it Zane or Jake?
Zane.
Okay, yeah. He told his story, it didn't go very well.
There is a testament of character. If you cheat, that's an infringement on your character. Like, you're cheating, that's on your character. However, situationally, you don't know what these people are going through, if they're abused, if they're
told. There's a lot
told.
Of context.
There's a lot of context there, right? I think leading into this discussion, it's great to see that AIU is doing their job, that they're supporting clean sport, and then this has happened. However, can we just be honest about this? Like, the agent that's involved with Ruth has had multiple athletes test positive. He was at London, sitting there, drinking like a fish, just hanging out. I'm shocked that they're not charging.
There seems to be no
correlation or connection.
Punishment.
Why can't they investigate? I think they have investigated him in the past, but like, it's obvious. Like, there's a correlation here, right? Like, I'm not like saying something outlandish.
He fucking sucks.
This guy's an issue.
Federico Rosa.
Federico Rosa.
Who's wondering who it is?
He's an issue. He's a massive issue.
He manages a lot of people that we race against.
He manages Tobago.
Yeah, he's got 100 athletes though. Literally like 100
athletes. He's got a lot of them. And if you go through the list,
he was under investigation for helping Rita Jip do dope. But those charges got dropped for whatever reason. I don't know enough about that.
There was no explanation. He was in jail in Kenya for a month or something like that.
He's in jail in Kenya.
He was agent of Rita Jip do, who won like 5 major marathons. Sumgong, who won the Rio Olympics. And kept her gold medal for the Olympics.
Yeah.
Similar to Ruth keeping her world record.
Yeah.
As well, Kiprop, who kept his...
A lot of medals.
London Olympic gold. No. Beijing Olympic gold. Yeah. He's aging for all those guys.
Yeah.
Like, he was in London just sitting there and act like nothing happened. And I just think like something needs to happen.
You think
it's ridiculous that they don't...
You think in the contract it needs to like...
But it's like... I mean, we know how it works. Like... There needs to be like some bigger change, because it's like, you know, that when it's like his case, it seems really fishy. But then you could think of other cases where the agents are way less involved, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the fair way to do it.
Well, they wear his jersey for Nike.
Yeah.
They wear the orange jersey. She's an Adidas athlete, so it's a bit different. However,
no.
Ruth is Adidas.
No.
Isn't
Nike?
Are you sure?
100%. They're posting about her Nike Alpha Flies that she ran in.
But regardless, when it gets to these types of numbers, it's like there has to be some way that the agent can be held accountable.
There's got to be some sort of accountability for this agent. Because I feel like, yes, the athletes, this is a testament on their character. They cheated. They deserve this sentence. This is a good thing. However, their stories out of context, their context of all this stuff, like, it feels like there is an outer force that is pressuring these people, that is pushing these people to dope. And it is continuing to happen. And I believe this could be the issue. He could be the catalyst. I mean,
the agent has massive financial incentive for them to perform well.
Yeah.
And therefore should be under way more scrutiny.
Especially if they don't lose anything.
The same situation. Like falling in a race. There's no drawback.
There's no drawback.
Yeah.
I just think that...
When athlete tests positive, doesn't matter to this agent. He just keeps on cashing checks
especially
from all
the
other agents.
Reputation is already just
the reputation is already really
he
bad.
Already doesn't give a fuck.
Normally,
clearly,
it would probably be reputation.
Yeah,
would be, and that's
but it doesn't
not
seem
enough.
To affect him. It
it's
doesn't seem
enough.
To affect him.
So it's just ridiculous. And these people, our sport is too small. So these people are too powerful. Like, these people are very powerful because it's such a small world for the agents and stuff. And
can't meets and stuff sad. Like just bar this agents. Like, no, you do not. Athletes aren't competing at the marathon major. Your athletes are not competing at this. Like. Maybe that's
they're
a way
too
they
connected.
Can. Yeah, but that maybe that's a
right
way
now.
That. Well, they need to fucking step up. They need to stop.
Someone
this.
Needs to,
because it's obviously a correlation, and it seems like he's just gonna get away from this without any repercussions.
Yeah, I think so.
Seems like it,
which is very unfortunate. So
we just gotta like shame him more at meets. It's just like,
well, he's never there. He's never at meets. It's always the representative.
You just saw him.
No, he was at London. But what I'm saying is, just like, from what I was
throw eggs at him or something.
Yeah, well, from what I was told from my agent and other agents, that he has a representative that turns up to certain meets.
Mm.
Yeah, he's never really actually
yeah, totally.
There.
But it's like, it's so hard because like, then I was going to question like how the other athletes that are represented by him feel, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because then that's not good even for their reputation, but it's probably so many of them have limited options.
They might not be able to leave or...
Yeah.
Like, might be the only way they can make any money or get paid. Or we don't know those kind of things, but...
Sad.
Seems a little suspicious.
Yeah.
Sad. Speaking of cheating, do you guys see the Coldplay concert? Dude, that was the funniest
memes,
thing I've ever
the
seen.
The memes about that actual thing have brought so many people together, and it's fantastic.
So much
also,
joy.
Have you guys noticed there's a Illuminati effect going on here? We've got Luigi Mangione took out a CEO.
How did this?
You have this come what? Up? You have the Oceania submarine thing took out a CEO. You now have Coldplay taking out a CEO. It's very, very dangerous to be a CEO right now. There's a lot of CEOs that are going down. Gus, I am worried. This is why I'm bringing it up. I'm concerned because, I mean, the healthcare CEO's gone. The astronomer CEO's apparently been fired from his job, I think. The Coldplay guy, right?
He quit. I think they both quit.
Oh, they just both quit. Well, he's gone. And then the submarine, boom. So being a CEO is pretty dangerous right now. So Gus is taking legal action.
I hope like the cameraman had been paid off by like a... the wife or the private, like a private detective to out
the amount of people though that are at that Coldplay concert, and then they pick them out of all people. Also, if you're like, if you're cheating on somebody as well, you're just out there in the VIP box, just hugging this HR that you work with. It's just the most like,
and there's people around them that obviously knew.
That knew. It was just the most insane thing.
The funniest thing is,
if they just stood there, it probably would have been fine.
Or it wouldn't have blown up.
Or if they were like, oh shit, I'm worried about this, they should just perform the Heimlich.
Yeah. She's choking.
Goes, oh, she's choking.
They made it as worse as possible. They made it as likely as possible that it would go viral.
Yes.
Also, I love that the cameraman, like, because in that situation, I would think normally, like, they would cut away. They just kept on it.
Because they knew, like, these two are fucking cheating. Let's call them out.
That was real good.
Yeah, I mean, the memes from that alone have just been hilarious. We've seen a few of them.
Probably done a lot of good for Coldplay's relevance.
Honestly, Coldplay sales has probably gone up.
Not that they needed it, I don't think.
But going to become a thing at all their concerts now, I bet.
Yeah. I think the next night, before they did it, he like warned the crowd.
He's like, hey, kids, guys, just letting you know there's a camera that's going around. So do your makeup or whatever you need to do, just letting you know there's a camera going around.
That's so good.
So funny, man.
So, yeah, that's a.
On a lighter note.
A lighter note for everyone except like the.
Yeah,
the family.
Everyone actually infected by that.
But yeah, good meme. So enjoyed that. To close out today, we do have, I didn't actually see this, so I can't really comment on that much, but it seems that Mr. World Athletics himself, Seb Coe, has now come out in a statement.
Mr. Worldwide. Mr. Worldwide.
He is concerned about Grand Slam. And, you know, we've had some concerns of our own about Grand Slam as well. So it is, but it's interesting to see Lord Coe make a comment on it because he's in such a position of power. And, you know, these things are political. Often they're not allowed to comment, but there's been a couple of, the statements are pretty tame, but he said, these are the headlines. Lord Coe worried by unpaid fees of Michael Johnson's Grand Slam track. Seb Coe, quote, there's no point in pretending this is satisfactory. So he didn't say that much, but for him to say anything about it is kind of a big deal, which, I mean, he's probably, the thing is, I've always thought that like World Athletics is obviously kind of very invested in the success of, in particular, the Diamond League. I guess they're invested in the success of the sport as a whole. So they would have wanted Grand Slam
Grand
to
Slam,
also have success.
Having that idea of the money, a lot of money too, I think led to World Athletics' decision to do the Ultimate World Championships, where it's $150,000 for the win, the ranking system on the off year. They want to put in more money. They want to try and do something like that, it seems like. But the Grand Slam stuff's getting a bit more dicey here because I'm pretty sure there's been unpaid stuff for even venues. I think the Miami venue or the Philadelphia venue, I can't remember.
I think it was Miami came out that they hadn't paid the rent on it.
I think it was about $90,000 unpaid.
It's crazy. Like, what happens here? Do they just say we're bankrupt and they don't have to pay anyone?
Well, the athletes are on two-year deals. I'm pretty sure Yared and Josh are on two-year deals. So how does that implicate with the agents? Do they just say you're paying these athletes regardless? For these 2 years?
Dude, I think the athletes get paid last.
Is there a clause in their contract that they'll still be paid for these two seasons?
No, because I'm pretty sure there'd be something in the contract that like says something along the lines of if Grand Slam doesn't exist, we don't have to pay you. Like, I think that's kind of how bankruptcy works.
Do we know if any of our OAC people have been paid?
I think
Jamaica?
Some of them have been paid some.
I've heard reimbursements and appearance fees. I have not heard prize money yet.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's just, I think the athletes will get paid. I think the athletes will probably get screwed. I'm sure that the contracts with Well, maybe not, but I'm sure the contracts with some of the vendors and the venues and those types of things are probably a little more...
priority.
They're probably more likely to get sued by them, I would say.
So my question is, boys,
yeah,
this is the most important question that this podcast is going to have. When do we buy Grand Slam and turn into Chicken Boy Morgs?
You know what they say, buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
It's getting lower and lower every day right now.
Price is coming down.
Price is coming down. When the weeks. Commissioner Gordon and Carl Membrane come to the table, Morgan.
It's going real low.
It's going to go low?
Yeah, dude. I think we might have to step in pretty soon and save it.
We'll save it.
I was just imagining like a number of different Office references. I declare bankruptcy one.
But then also,
this seems like the Michael Scott Paper Company. Where it's just a front.
Yeah, and you never take your first offer as well, right? You never take the first offer. We're offering you
zero. I
didn't
want to hear your first offer.
You're offering you zero. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not taking that offer.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. But Morgan, we got to keep an eye out if we want to.
I think we will certainly be keeping an eye out. We'll be keeping I have their stock price, a ticker. I have that on my home screen every day. It's currently down to 99 cents a share. I think once it hits 80 cents a share, we'll initiate the buyer and we'll take over.
We're buying
hostile
for 88
takeover.
Cents.
It'll be a hostile takeover.
We're buying for 88 cents, right?
Yeah. So look forward to that.
Perfect.
Yeah, dude.
Simcoe is going to be busy. Sorting out Grand Slam, sorting out our carding system for fours that we've just...
We'll put a lot on his plate.
Yeah. But I think
but it's all for the betterment of the sport.
Yeah, he wants that.
He's a man of action, so we trust him to take care of it all.
We do.
But yeah, that's just a little Grand Slam. I mean, there's nothing else to say.
No, honestly not.
People still remain unpaid.
Yeah.
And the league seems like less and less likely that it's going to exist next year, unfortunately. And that's about it. So yeah, what a mixed bag of an episode.
Yeah.
In terms of
get a bit of everything, little bit of everything,
a bunch of different spices in there. Hopefully, we can bring some more positivity next time. But it
next week we'll come back with a USA's preview and prediction,
which will be very positive.
Is USA? Is that
it
is.
Well,
that is next week. Is it the end? Or are we 2 weeks away?
How long?
Two weeks away.
No, I think next week we'll be doing the preview. I'm sure. Next weekend.
Okay.
People are racing.
Got my dates right.
I believe. Could be wrong. But
we got that to look forward to then.
Dude, USA's going to be crazy. I mean, honestly,
it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Insane in the membrane.
I wonder if Jakob will be returning that weekend.
Was he racing at USA's?
Yeah. Hops in USA's. Sick.
No, Jingy saw the fall and he called me and he said, "Don't worry, Ollie. Just stay under me in Silesia and I'll take you to it."
Yeah. Dude, not many people fall in races that Jingy's in.
No, because
he's good at sorting them out.
Yarrow has had this prediction too. Yarrow's like, yeah, no one wants to go around him, and then everyone runs really fast. Like, people just don't try and beat him. And I'm like, yeah, I know, because he's fucking good.
Oh yeah,
Jingy only falls when he's Superman diving.
When he needs to win the race, he'll fall. Yeah. When he needs to win the race in his home country, he'll fall.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think that's it from us for episode 196. Numbers are getting up there, boys. Getting nervous. 196 of the Coffee Cup Podcast.
That was my heart rate this whole podcast, actually.
Wow.
196.
It's not bad.
That was my core team.
That's your core champ, 196.
But thank you guys so much for listening once again, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.